You guys, it means so much to me that you came. I wouldn't come if I wasn't speaking. Just because it's so cold out and rainy. So before I start my talk, there's a couple of people I would like to thank, kind of piggybacking off of Lindsay's acknowledgement of Jenny. I just want to thank those of you who have contributed in various ways to the Saturday workshop since it started in 2014. So today is actually the very last one of the workshop, and we're going to retire this format and lean into some new things that are being developed for women at Coram Deo. So the person who was my right hand through this whole process was Samantha Hager, and she has started grad school, and she isn't here this morning because she's studying. But I would like to just name her name and thank her for all that she did to administrate the background work for all of these workshops that we've done. I would also like to thank the people who were part of panels or who have spoken, and I think a couple of you are here. So if you've ever spoken on a panel or spoken as a single speaker, will you just stand up? I know there's a lane. Yeah. All right, we'll give them a little clap. Since 2014, women were able to tell their stories about what the Lord has done in their life in a lot of different ways, and it was just a rich experience for me to be able to be part of, and I know it was a benefit to a lot of you as well. So, we don't want you to think that women's ministry is, like, forgotten or going away. There are a bunch of new exciting things in the hopper as we transition into our new church location. We're just kind of re-envisioning a lot of different things, and so stay tuned. There are good things on the horizon. So, before we begin, now we're going to begin. I'd like to give you just a quick crash course on Advent. How many of you grew up in churches that had some kind of Advent practice, liturgical background? Okay. And then I assume the remainder of you don't necessarily bring a lot of history with the liturgical calendar. So, we're going to just do a quick overview of what Advent is and how it works. What are the nuts and bolts? And in order to really comprehend Advent, let's do a quick look at Christmas. So we all know about our culture's definition of Christmas, where we shop, we decorate, we listen to Christmas music, we eat Christmas treats, we send cards, and we go to parties. And I don't have to explain all that to you, you're very familiar. Christmas really is something else. It's the time when God's people look with expectation toward his second coming. This is the time when God's people celebrate the first coming of the long-prophesied Messiah. He cleanses us from our sin with his death and resurrection. He unites us to himself so that we live daily life in friendship with him. When he came the first time, he declared open war on death, evil, and sin. He empowers his people by sending his Spirit and making us into a church. And he inaugurates his new kingdom, which begins the process of restoring all the things that were lost in Eden. So that was the first coming, but we are not there in the restoration yet. We are in the in-between time. So we look, our Advent celebration comes after his first coming, which inaugurated a completely new cosmic reality, but it isn't in its fullness yet. So we're waiting for his second coming, when he will reign in power, when he will restore and reconcile all things to himself, and when he will establish the new heavens and the new earth. So Christmas is like this mind-blowing change in all of our realities. And in order to really understand the depth of Christmas, apart from how our culture thinks of it, we need to prepare. And Advent is the season when we prepare. So, we're looking back to Christ's first coming, we're looking ahead to his second coming, and we're cultivating probably what we're already doing somewhat, but we want to use this time to be intentional about a daily practice of welcoming the Spirit of God into our lives. If we're united with Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. So I'm not saying something new is going to happen, but I'm saying let's cultivate an attitude of being open and inviting. So here's a little quote that kind of expresses this idea. During this season, we assume a posture of waiting. We choose to enter the story as it happened for those who came before us, in anticipation, with groaning, with longing, with hope. It is no new practice for us to wait in the dark. We too live in a world of shadows. We too trust in a future victorious day. We too cling with stubborn hope to what God has promised, the return of our coming King. Advent is a time for us to practice the already and the not yet kind of waiting. So, the nuts and bolts of Advent. Advent starts the fourth Sunday before Christmas, so actually tomorrow is the first day of Advent. It has not started yet. It does not start December 1st. It starts, if you count four Sundays back, that's the first day, the first Sunday. So we mark the weeks and we mark the days of Advent. Each week of Advent has a theme, and depending on what tradition you come from, there are different emphases associated with each week. So I've just thrown up there the most common ones, but like I said, there's a lot of variation. So the first Sunday is often associated with the theme of hope. It's also called the Prophets Sunday or the Prophets Week. The second, you can see, is love, associated with angels. By the third week of Advent, you need a little encouragement, so it's called Gaudete Sunday, which means rejoice. And that's the Sunday that you use the pink candle on your Advent wreath, which I'll explain in a second. So that's the Joy Sunday associated with shepherds. And the fourth Sunday is associated with peace and the adoration of the Magi. So a typical Advent wreath, you've probably seen it, has three purple candles and a pink candle. The three purples are for the 3 weeks, the pink you light on that third Sunday, and then a white candle in the middle, which is called the Christ candle. And typically, you light a new candle on Sundays. So you get together with your people, and you might light that whole first week, you're going to light the hope candle every night or whenever you sit down to read. And then the second Sunday, you light the hope and the love and so on through the week. Does that make sense? So then we're going to talk about marking the days, using an Advent calendar to mark the days. And you've all seen those cute little punch-out ones that have chocolate inside, which I love those and strongly advocate for chocolate. Daily scripture reading is the most important thing, though. It's not the treats that's the most important thing. The most important thing is the daily scripture that immerses us in the prophecies concerning Christ and immerses us in the nativity story. So the readings for this period of time, you can find on any like Advent website or liturgical website, they'll provide the scripture references for you from what's called the lectionary. The lectionary is basically a Bible reading plan that goes through a 3-year cycle. And in the lectionary, it will guide like this year. This is like the third year in the cycle. You can pick it up at any point and it'll tell you like all the Christians who use the lectionary across denominations and around the world are all reading these same passages, this same Old Testament passage, this same New Testament passage, this same Psalm, and it kind of like allows you to sync up your scripture reading. There are good things about this. There are limitations to using the lectionary, but as a guide for your daily reading during Advent, it's a great way to go. So we're immersed in the prophecies, we're immersed in the nativity, we do our little Advent candles, and then we reinforce the fun with snacks. If you have kids, it's such a great idea. So we always forget to get our Advent calendar from Trader Joe's on time, so any box of cookies is a perfectly acceptable accompaniment to your reading. I don't know. If you have kids, it's great. If you don't have kids, it's great. So that is kind of the overview of the nuts and bolts. Any questions at this point? So before we move into our next section, I just want to acknowledge that if I give you a list of things to do or practices to observe, I don't know about your soul, but my soul immediately locks into a couple of things. I want to get it right. I want to get it done every day. I want my kids and my husband to all be in a good mood when we do it. I want to be in a good mood. I want to be able to like sink into that little sweet spot emotionally where I feel connected with the Lord and I am enjoying this like synergy and it's cozy and it's perfect. And so immediately my soul goes to the things that I really want to do. Like everybody's got to be on the same page with me about this. And the reality is that that is not ever going to happen. I mean, definitely not going to happen on a consistent basis throughout a whole month of this. Very, very seldom. It might happen once or twice. That might be all. My kids come to it, and I'm like, please sit and read, and let's do this together. And I give them their reading, and they like the part that they read, but they don't care for the part that everybody else is reading. And then they're like coming up with questions that aren't associated with anything that we're doing. And they're just... So many things about this that in my soul become attached to like getting it right. And each of you will attach to these ideas in a different way. You might really want to control what other people are doing, or you might really want the atmosphere to be just so. And there are so many ways that this kind of can become another expression of duty and another expression of busyness. And It can become another way that we want holiday magic. Like, we're doing the spiritual version of the Hallmark Channel. Because it's like we want that sort of glitz and that romance, and this can sort of be all kind of in that same ball. So, I am going to Advent the heck out of December. And maybe I'm inspiring you to do the same. I hope I am. And I really want it to be quiet. The theme of this talk is quiet Advent. I'm dying for a quiet Advent. But will it be a quiet Advent? Probably won't. While I am preparing this talk, the last couple of weeks, I'm living in my basement and the top level of my house is being demolished because we're doing a renovation and it's going to be wonderful, but it's the worst. It is the worst. Like, my throat is full of dust from all the rock that's been destroyed and drilled, and my whole house is covered with this sticky coating of dust. And while I am sitting here praying, and like I lit my candles, I've got my atmosphere going, and I'm just like, Lord, will you help me with this? Because I don't know, like literally above my head, and to the right is the worker on the floor above drilling, and it sounds like a dental drill in my ear. And this happened day after day. And I'm like, this is so frustrating. How am I supposed to prepare this talk on quiet Advent? And it was like, it took me a really long time before I really like connected with this. Like, this is the Lord's providence that this is happening, that even my preparation is messy. Even my concentration is like distracted and all over the place. So it reminds me, and it reminds all of us, that we are facing things this Advent that will get in the way of the quietness that we crave. So what I'd like to do is ask you to throw out some of the things that you are facing that may get in the way of things being quiet. I can start with construction. What else?
You ever think of a distraction? Like mentally distracted?
Yeah. Mental distractions. Anything specific? Good.
The to-do list.
What's on your to-do list? Julia, I'm living for my empty nest days, and you're making me feel like it's never going to happen. I do want them to.
Small children with lots of needs contain needs.
Look at this. This is the worst handwriting ever. I'm so sorry. Children with needs. All the children. Say a bit more about that.
Work not ending at work.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing work home.
Mm-hmm. Papers to grade. Do you have that?
Oh,
papers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would say like I love the atmosphere idea. So like I like want the perfect atmosphere before I. So that's like yeah, cleaning and like setting the scene and making sure that everything's like.
Yes.
Now I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. None of you guys have talked about family dynamics. Oh, you guys have talked a little about family dynamics. Yeah, we're in denial about all that. I'll just go ahead and put that down, and we'll just let that whatever play out. All right. So that's kind of a sample of what we're facing this Advent season. And my question to you is, what does your soul need? What does your soul need the most in the midst of family requirements, work requirements, the things you want to do because it's the holiday time, and then sort of the variables, like the things that you can't control, like if your kids are sick or your house is under construction or your car breaks down. So what we really need is not a perfect atmosphere. What we really need is not all of these things to unfold perfectly and smoothly. And we want that, but that isn't what our soul most needs. What we need the most is grace that will fall on us like snow over the inner and outer chaos. We need a reality that is more substantial than our ups and downs. We need quietness that transcends the noise because it does not come from the outside. So I'd like to share with you this passage from Micah chapter 2. I've been meditating on this for a long time, and I love this verse. I love all of it. It's like this super potent little vitamin, and I wish I could just unpack every piece of information about it. But what I want to point your attention to is the last line. It says, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." So we know that Bethlehem Ephrathah, I'm saying that wrong, please, those of you who understand the correct pronunciation, just forgive me, pretend that you didn't hear any of it. Bethlehem means house of bread. It also means house of warfare. And it has a many-layered history in the Hebrew imagination because it starts with the place where Rachel died. She was the patriarch's wife, the matriarch. And then it ultimately reaches its most notoriety in being the birthplace of David. So, but still, it's just a tiny town, a little bit famous, but very small. And this is the place where Micah says the ruler in Israel will come, and the one who goes forth from everlasting will be there. So we know also that for just context's sake that the prophet Micah is speaking to Israel, and his book is full of prophecies to Jerusalem. And Jerusalem has had a lot of issues with corruption. They've been using their money to enrich themselves at the expense of the poor. There's a bunch of injustice happening there. And Micah is saying, this isn't right. The whole book is full of a denunciation of what they have done and a call to them to repent. And in the middle of that denunciation, he gives this beautiful kernel of hope and encouragement about the one who is coming to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. And we know from Matthew chapter 2 that that points ahead to Jesus. Matthew says that's who he's talking about. So let's take a look. This phrase about whose goings forth are from old and from everlasting has been just really resonating in my mind because it reminds me that my concerns this Advent are on a continuum of history, and the one who owns my life and rules all of it has been going forth from old. He's the Ancient of Days. And something about that helps me understand this both as something that's very important to him, but also as something that is small and fleeting, and that I don't have to carry, and I don't have to generate, because it is carried for me, planned for me, orchestrated for me by the Ancient of Days. Does anybody have a Bible handy who could open up to Ephesians chapter 1? Could you please read verses 3 through 10?
Yes. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
I just love that passage as Paul builds out the idea that Christ is the one who has gone forth from old. I would love to hear your observations about it. I know that we have some accomplished Bible teachers and experienced readers of the Bible here, and I'm just curious if you see anything that you would like to point out in this passage. It's huge. It's a huge, towering statement of our views of Jesus Christ. How does this speak to you? I'm really interested in what comes through as you think about Advent and your own interior quietness. Yes. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like you were saying, you get the scope of God's plan in this. From, he says, like, from the foundations of the earth, like, to the fullness of time, like, it's, yeah, just like the continuum of his plan for redemption. Mm-hmm.
And that when we do those Advent things, we are in Him. We are in Him, and we are in the process of being united. As it says in that last verse, He will unite all things in Him, in heaven and on earth. And the fragmentation that I often feel when I'm under pressure, when things are very busy and intense, I feel like things are slipping through my fingers and they're being lost. I'm losing track of details. I'm losing time. It's kind of a panicky feeling about some of those things. And this scripture reminds me that all things are united. All things will be gathered together. And nothing is lost in Christ. Could I also ask you, if you have a Bible, to turn to Psalm 131, verses 2 and 3. I love this passage because it speaks to a practice of quietness as we think about the scope of the Lord's work in the universe. We think about the grand plan that He is working out. Psalm 131 is this important counterpoint. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me, but I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forevermore. And there are many more psalms that use the phrase, play with the idea of waiting for the Lord in silence. And that's probably where I'm going to spend a lot of time meditating this Advent, because the exterior is very loud. But inside, the scripture guides me into waiting in silence for the Lord. And our waiting is not empty. Our waiting has this wonderful fullness promised at the end of it. So I would like to share with you this treasure that I found. I'm so excited about Charles Spurgeon. He's my favorite. Charles Spurgeon's a preacher from England. He preached this sermon on December 23rd, 1855. So if you picture in your mind sort of the street people from A Christmas Carol, this is probably the population that he's speaking to. Of old, Christ went forth as our covenant head in election, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He has goings forth for his people, he had goings forth for his people as their representative before the throne of God, even before they were begotten in the world. It was from everlasting that his mighty fingers grasped the pen, and he wrote his own name, the name of the eternal Son of God. It was from everlasting that he signed the compact with his Father, that he would pay blood for blood, wound for wound, suffering for suffering, agony for agony, and death for death on behalf of his people. It was from everlasting that he gave himself up without a murmuring word, that from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet he might sweat blood, that he might be spit upon, pierced, mocked, torn asunder, suffering the pain of death and the agonies of the cross. His goings forth as our surety were from everlasting. Pause, my soul, and wonder. you had goings forth in the person of Jesus from everlasting. Not only when you were born into the world did Christ love you, but his delights were with the sons of men before there were any sons of men. Often did he think of them. From everlasting to everlasting, he had set his affection upon them. What, believer, has he been so long about your salvation, and will he not accomplish it? Has he from everlasting been going forth to save me? Will he lose me now? What? Has he had me in his hand as a precious jewel? And will he now let me slip between his precious fingers? Did he choose me before the mountains were brought forth or the channels of the deep scooped out? And will he lose me now? Impossible. I am sure he would not love me so long and then leave off loving me. If he intended to be tired of me, he would have been tired of me long before now. If he had not loved me with a love as deep as hell and as unutterable as the grave, if he had not given his whole heart to me, I am sure he would have turned from me long ago. He knew what I would be, and he has had time to consider it. But I am his choice, and that is the end of it. And unworthy as I am, it is not mine to grumble if he is contented with me. And he is contented with me. He must be contented with me, for he has known me long enough to know my faults. He knew me before I knew myself. Yes, he knew me before I was myself. Long before my members were fashioned, they were written in his book, when as yet there were none of them. His eyes of affection were set on them. He knew how badly I would act toward him, and yet he has continued to love me. His love in times past forbids me to think he'll leave me at last in trouble to sink. No. His goings forth were of old, from everlasting, and they will be to everlasting. Isn't that money? Don't you love it? Ah, so good. Hallelujah. So now that we are grounded and our concept of Advent is embedded in our Savior's work for us in the scope of history based on his goings forth, not on our perfection, not on our external circumstances, none of those things. Our Advent doesn't hang on any of those things. Now that we've established that, we're ready, I hope, to pivot toward Advent practices that can serve us as discipleship tools, not as measures of righteousness, but just as ways to engage the goodness that he has offered to us. And I would love if you would just take a moment at your table and discuss some ideas about either things that you have done already or things that you'd like to try this year for the first time as an Advent practice. So I don't know if you've had a long enough time to say hello to everyone at your table. Make sure you introduce yourself so that you all know each other. And then I'm going to give you some time to process, and then I would love to hear what you come up with. All right. Thanks for your conversation and for generating ideas. I would love to hear what you discussed at your table as far as practices that you want to try. I threw up on the screen what I'm going to do for Advent, and I would love to hear if you thought of some things that you want to try. Let's start with this table. Yeah, I'm up for that. What have you done in the past?
Well, there's like the chocolates. I was talking about how growing up we did those, and it was never associated with the Bible or scripture. It was purely the chocolate. because I grew up in a family that went to church or anything. But then we talked about what we've done more recently is a couple different books, Anne Voskamp, Timothy Keller, and like a tea advent one, whereas the chocolate is teas, which would be great if baby steps, but pair it with the scripture, like while you're drinking your tea, you can do the scripture, like that,
yeah.
At that time, potentially.
That's great.
Yeah, that's about it.
We did a study together. It was like a coloring book, kind of like one of those adult coloring books where you like colored in certain words from like the scripture so you could really like focus in on what it was saying and there's like
Hmm. Nice. So you have done that in the past on Advent? Yeah, that's lovely. I'm just going to put that under the general heading of Advent calendar. So does your table intend to use those techniques again? Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. How about you?
We talked about kind of the different books that we've read, and all of us have gone through the Cormeo, the Advent.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a book this year. It's called Camillus Adorica.
Mm, yeah. Paul Tripp. Yep. Anybody here in the middle?
So we actually have, since the church calendar has different colors that go along with it, and Advent has certain colors, my kids and I will get out paints and get those colors out, so gold or red or whatever, and they'll do paintings with those, and then we'll hang them up, and then we'll switch them out so that we can see the different season change. So this weekend we'll get out golds or reds or whatever color for Advent, and then we'll have those hang up all season.
Nice. I love that. Officially, the colors, just for everybody's info, are pink and purple and rose, are the Advent colors, and gold and white are the colors you use during Christmastide.
Mm-hmm. So we'll get out all those colors.
And I'm sure red and green are also fine. Yeah. Any other thoughts? Oh, yeah, I've heard about that, but I don't know what it is.
This is a lineage. So you put the birth of Jesus, so it kind of goes through the whole Old Testament on the line of David. So there's our daughter's five now, but that's a bunch of her name, and the color, do those as one of the
ones. Nice. Is there a book?
There's lots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. That sounds great. Somebody else had a thought?
Oh, I was going to say Jesse Tree, but we used the Jesus story of the Bible.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. Do you remember the title of that book about the promises?
She
Okay. From the blog.
For me, at least, you covet the time in the evenings when you get home from work. You're like, this is my time, like, and committing that time, a portion of that time, to doing the Advent readings and then also the quiet and the tree, because mm-hmm. everyone loves it. And there's something, I think, attached with wonder to that. So you're using the evenings to kind of set that intention.
Yeah, that's great. I love that idea. I don't know how to put that on the board, but evening.
Evening.
I could just write evening. Use the darkness for you instead of letting it work against you. Ah, the handwriting is such a problem. I'm so sorry. There. Alrighty, well, these are excellent ideas, and I want to thank you all for contributing to them. I would just challenge you guys to think about the social media fast as a good option. Something I do every December, and it's so nice. I love it so much. It's a little bit hard, but it's mostly really productive and good. So, are there any questions? Usually we do a little Q&A at the end of this, and I think we've probably covered terrain that's pretty familiar. But I just want to create a minute in case anybody has a lingering question. Oh, yes. Yep. End of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Tomorrow is the first day of the new year according to the church calendar. So, yep. Yeah, thanks for reminding me of that. There are so many bad ones. It's hard to find good ones. But contemplative prayer is a practice of, some people call it wordless prayer or centering prayer. And there are many different ways to practice it and many different ways that people approach it and teach it. What I usually do when I'm doing contemplative prayer, and we have done contemplative prayer together with the women in our GC, it is like, be so gentle with yourself if it's hard for you, because it is hard unless you really develop the practice. But so we usually set a timer for about 3 minutes, and you can do it a couple of different ways, but I usually just use the phrase in Christ and sit with that phrase, and I let, you know, if your mind is wandering and chaotic, that's okay. It will quiet down. But on the in-breath, I say to myself in, and on the exhale, I say to myself Christ. And I just sit with that for 3 minutes. And sometimes push the boat out longer, and I can do it a lot longer than that. But it's such a wonderful, like, calming thing. Probably many of you are familiar with different meditation practices, and maybe you already practice them. So that won't be anything revolutionary in that for you. But if you've never tried it, I would encourage you to give it a try. And anytime you want to chat more about contemplative prayer or specific books, I have a lot of thoughts about it and, like, which ones are... Anyway, it's hard to just throw it out without like a longer conversation, but we could chat more if you have interest in that. Well, it is 11:15, and I think I should let you go so you can get home before the roads freeze solid. So I would just like to conclude by taking you back to Micah chapter 5, where we started before. The one from old, from the Ancient of Days, goes forth, it says in verse 2, and I want to draw your attention down to verse 4. And this is our benediction, and I want you to take this in, and this is a promise for what is coming. He shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. So take that, bunch that up, and stick it in your heart, and take it with you. And I hope that you have a quiet Advent. I hope that the circumstances of your Advent are peaceful. And if they're not, when they're not, I hope that the Lord's peace is there. And that we remember where we are in the grand trajectory of his goings forth from old. So thank you very much for being with us, me, today. And I just love you all. So have a happy Advent and a Merry Christmas. Sorry, Bethany, one more time. Sorry to interrupt you guys again. On Sunday mornings, you know that we have the opportunity to come down to the front and pray. And we want to do that today here. So if you have any concerns or things on your mind, it does not have to be epic crisis mode. If you just have whatever, things on your mind, and you would like someone to pray with you, there are three or so women here who are ready to do that. And they'll just meet you here in the front if you would like that. All right, as you were.